Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and it's talked about in Galatians 5, and it's really the love of God, the agape love of God. And that's what this is what God is doing in His people in the time and hour that we live in, is He's developing this fruit. And as we grow and mature and develop, we're producing this fruit to serve it to the world. See that? Remember, apple trees don't eat their own apples, right? So the fruit is for other people. So God is developing us with this agape love, and He's helping us to serve the fruit of His Spirit wherever we go. There's a desperate need for love in our world. Amen? And so when you understand this kind of love, you can love people who are unlovable, people who don't love themselves. You can love people who are mean-spirited. That's why He says, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. You can't do that without this agape love that we're talking about. And when you begin to grow in that and mature in that, it's going to make you healthy. You see, a marriage was founded on agape love. Adam and Eve were created in agape love. And so that's what the whole goal is. When we're following God and following Jesus, we're getting back to the agape love, what it was in the garden. See that? But when sin came in, it contaminated the agape love. And that's the idea. We're getting back to. That's why you have all these back to words. Redeemed. Back to. Renew, refresh, all the repent, all these re-words are back to the garden. And so that's what God is calling us to. This agape love, what He originated our lives to be lived. And so that's the idea. And so that's what marriage, when marriage is in that, you are in a bless me contest. It's paradise when you're loving God. Two people in this agape love will never be divorced. Won't happen. Because they are connected with a love that's unconditional. I'm going to love you in spite of what you're doing and going through. I'm going to help you through it. No matter what your issues are, I'm going to help you get through this. Now think about this. It's not what happened to me. It's what's happened for me. People will live their lives as victims because of what happened to them in life. You know, they may have been abused sexually, verbally, physically, or they may have been abandoned, or you may have been through divorce or some trauma. When you change it, this isn't just what happened to me, it happened for me. See, that happened for me changes it. Neuroscientists have come up, if you stay in the state of, well, this happened to me, you'll never move forward. You'll always stay in captivity and bondage. Well, my dad left us when we were, that happened to you, but that happened for you. God's going to use that to help through you, to help you help other people. You see that? And that's the way it is. When you understand that, see, Jesus died on the cross. That's the cross in the center here. It says He became sin that we would become the righteousness of God. So in other words, think about this. He became sin. He became all sin. He became a child abuser. He became a murderer. You hearing that? Every sin you can think of, he became that. He became sin. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 20, he became sin that we would become the righteousness of God. So every sin you can think of, homosexuality, he became that. Every sin, Jesus became that on the cross. Why? So he can set you free. Set you free of any of those sins and become you and show you the you you haven't met yet. You see that? So there's no excuse when you understand what I'm talking about. Am I making sense? So no matter, doesn't matter what happened to you. One more thing. God had a plan for your life before you were born. That's why it doesn't matter what happened to you. God had a plan for your life. It says he knew you, he formed you, he ordained you, and he called you to be a prophet, a spokesperson for him. Now listen, before you were born, when you're born into this world, you're born in sin. You're born in contradiction to God because of what Adam and Eve did. They fell from God. They fell from grace. So you're born into this world in contradiction to God, psychologically, sociably, physically, and spiritually. You're separated from God when you're born into this world. David said, I was born in sin and brought forth in iniquity. From my mother's womb I was brought forth. Now watch. So we're brought forth into this world in sin, separated from God spiritually. That's why we need to be born again spiritually. When you're born again spiritually, now you've positioned yourself to line up the word that you were lost before you were born again. The word lost means out of alignment and out of position. So you're out of position with God and out of alignment with God. And that's what God does. He calls you with his word to line up with his word. What he created you for. What he had before you were even born. Are you getting this? It calls you to line up with that. That's why it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 and 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? He calls you with the good news, the gospel. He calls you with that. I've had people say, well, he's talking to me. I'm not talking to you. The Holy Spirit is talking to you through the word. He calls you out of that life that you're living and into the life he created you for with good news. You see that? With good news. For what? For the obtaining of the glory. What's the word glory? The word glory means what God originated and intended. He calls you out of that life you were in to get into the life he created you for. Are you catching that? So that's the idea. And when you get into that, you don't want nothing else. Because you're discovering who you are. The real you. The you you haven't met yet. And as you grow and mature in that, it's like the dots begin to be put together. Doesn't matter what happened to you. Now you begin to understand, it all happened for me. And God will use everything you've gone through to help and serve others out of that same type of situation. And we're going to start preaching in a minute. Are we making sense today? I say that a lot because I want us to understand. Let's go to our vision. And Tim's got our vision back there. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our vision here. Now watch. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Everybody say faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All right. We're talking about faithfulness today. We've been going through each one of these and extrapolating revelation out of them and application. See, it works like this. Revelation, interpretation, application, solution. You see, when you get the revelation and the interpretation, and then you start to apply it, it brings the solution you need for your life. You see, but if you never get the revelation, you never get the solutions, the answers to your life. All right, I get wound up. I'm excited. All right, I'm going to start out with Psalms 119, verse 75. So this is what the Holy Spirit is developing in us. And without the Holy Spirit, this can't be developed. This is a spiritual attribute of God. He is faithful. Now, look at this. Look what he says. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Well, where's the love in that? God's love is so great, and he's going to bring correction, instruction. You see, if you never want correction, you'll never get direction, and you'll forfeit his protection and your children's protection. The protection is in him over your life. Now, so God is so faithful that he can't go back on his word. He stays true to what he says. He has integrity. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he wants you to know that he's faithful. And maybe you're in a difficult place if you're a child of God. But God is helping you in what you're going through. If you hang on, you'll get through it. Now watch this. Let's look at this next one. Give me 67. Yeah. Now look what he says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So why did he bring the affliction? Get you back to where you belong. He wants you dependent on him and trust in him. You see that? He wants you dependent on him. Now look. So before I was afflicted, I went astray. Oh, but look what he says. But now I keep your word. The word keep means guard, shield, and protect. But now I keep your word in my heart, see? That's where life is, and that's where direction is for me in life. And God's plan begins to unfold. See, it says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. You see that? That wisdom is the principal thing. So there are principles for you and I to govern God's purpose. So without those principles, we don't understand how to carry out his purpose. We'll have it all discombobulated. But the more we understand his purpose and plan, we can fulfill it. And that's why we're here. That's why we exist. Really, it's all about other people getting into the kingdom. That's really what it's about. So now, give me the next one, 68. Look what David says. You are good and do good. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See that? Romans 8:28. Now look, all that's good. And then he says, teach me your statutes. You know what David is saying? Teach me your statutes. You know what the word statutes is? Character. Teach me your character. What is God's character? Love. God doesn't say God has love or God loves. God is love. And the love he is, this agape, unconditional. God is love. And if you don't know God, you don't know love. The only way you can know his love is to know God. That's what the Bible says. That's not Fred, that's the Bible. So now look. So that's why we're talking about the fruit of his spirit. So now, faithfulness is what we're talking about today. So go with me quickly to Revelations 2:10. And we've been looking at the church of Smyrna. And this is one of the seven churches. And when Jesus was speaking to these churches, it's literally him speaking to us now. We fit in all this. We fit in this. So this is what he's saying to Smyrna, but he's saying this to you and I now. Okay? Look what he says. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. It's getting difficult out there, isn't it? Things are changing fast, aren't they? This word suffer means affected by the experience. How are you being affected by what you're going through? How's your response look? Are you having a pity party? Are you falling apart like a $2 suitcase? Are you staying secure and standing and maintaining your witness? That's what God is looking at. He wants to see how you're responding to all the things that are going on all around you. He wants you to respond with stability, security. So when people see you, they see him. You see that? So now look, he says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison. Prison represents captivity. Some of you are in captivity to addictions, to something from your trauma, some kind of whatever it is, you're addicted to something. God wants to set you free, to show you who you are, so you can continue to grow and develop and become all he's created you to be. Now look at this. It says, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. How many of you know you're going to be tested in this life to see what you're made of? The word temptation means trial or test. So he says in 2 Corinthians 10, there's no temptation such as common to man, no trial or test such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tried or tested beyond what you are able, but with the trial or test will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So no matter what you go through, God is going to be with you because he's faithful and he's going to protect you through it, but he's going to help you make the right decision when the time comes. And if you got this thing working and the love of God is working, you're going to go his way and not the devil's way. Am I making sense? Now look, and you will have tribulation. What's tribulation? Trouble. This word trouble, any farmers in here? This word tribulation comes from the word tribulum, which is a farming instrument they used in Jesus' day. Now, it was made out of oak, and they would cut this big, long piece of oak, and then they would put these long, sharp, pointed pieces of oak on it. They put it together, and then they would scrape it across the wheat, and it would separate the wheat from the tares. The tares would be burnt. That's what's wasted. And the wheat was the good fruit. The object of what he's doing here is, the trouble is separating the good from the bad in your life. A lot of times we think when trouble comes, it's the devil. It's not always the devil. God's just trying to separate the good and show you the good in your life. No matter... You see this? Then he says, 10 days, be what? Until what? Death. He says, be faithful until death. He's trying to teach us that we're to be faithful if it costs us our life. Are you listening to me? In other words, you're in a country, communist country, and they got you in the back room. You confess Jesus, we're going to take you out. But if you deny him, you can still live. Get the picture? That's literally what he's talking about. He wants you to trust him and stay faithful no matter what you're going to face in this life. Is this making sense? If it's not worth dying for, it's not worth believing in. That's just how it is. That's the gospel. When you get that, your life takes on a whole new dynamic and meaning. Now look. Look what he says. And I will give you the crown of life. What's he talking about there? Crown represents authority. So in other words, when you're faithful, I'm going to give you the crown of life. I'm going to give you authority over what used to control you won't control you anymore. In other words, the addiction you had won't be able to hold you hostage anymore. In other words, you're looking at stuff on the phone, pornography, you don't want nothing to do with that anymore because you're faithful to your God. He'll give you authority. You don't need it anymore. You see that? You want to go on spending sprees and spend all your money and can't pay your bills and your kids don't know where to go for what they need? That'll stop when you become faithful. Because God's going to give you the crown of life to handle your money the way he's asking you to. So you can serve them and have them their best interest. This is what faithfulness is all about. Don't you see this is falling everywhere? But when you get this and you understand this, you want to be a part of it. Don't you want to be faithful? Now, I'm going to go. Do not fear. See what he says? Do not fear. We're going to talk about fear, and I'm going to have a part two with this. So part two is going to finish up this verse next week. But this is, I'm going to get into it, the beginning of it. So hold on. I got a little video for you I want you to see. How many of you have seen The Karate Kid? I used to take my son to these movies. I've always liked a good fight. I like MMA fighting, and I just like to see a good fight. My dad, he used to like to watch Cassius Clay. And I would sit by his knee and watch that fight. I used to love fights. I don't know why, just, you know, you got to love a fight. You got to learn to fight in this life, not with people, but with situations. Sometimes you got to get tough with some stuff, amen? I'll tell you, if you're a pastor, you better know a little something about fighting, amen? Now, this little scene I'm getting ready to show you is Danielson is in a fight with Mike Barnes, which is Cobra Kai, and this is Karate Kid 3, and Danielson and Mr. Miyagi are in a sudden death round of competition with this Mike Barnes. And Danielson gets swiped that Mike Barnes did an illegal swipe on Danielson and knocked him to the mat. And so now Mr. Miyagi runs to the mat and rushes over to the mat to check on his student, Danielson. And this clip, I'm getting ready to show you. He's on the mat, and Mr. Miyagi has run to the mat to check on his student. Now look what he says. Now pay attention to what he says. Now, you hear what he was saying? Danielson was saying, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I just want to go home. Pain on the floor, and his coach, Mr. Miyagi, comes up and begins to speak to him. What did he say to him? It's okay if you lose to your opponent. It's okay to lose to your opponent, but don't lose to fear. See that? Don't lose to fear. That's my favorite part right there. Because fear will defeat you every time. So, Danielson was giving up. I want to go home. He literally said, I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of this guy. Or Mr. Miyagi says, cannot, must not. Danielson, it's okay to lose to your opponent, but you must not lose to fear. Danielson says, "Okay, Mr. Miyagi, you want me to admit it? I'm afraid of him. I'm afraid of Mike." Mr. Miyagi says, "Oh, Danielson, focus. You must focus. Your best karate is in you. It must come out now." Don't you like that? Guess what happened? After he said that, Mike, his opponent, came over and said, "Your teacher's a fake. Mr. Miyagi, he's a fake." He says, "I own you, LaRusso." He says, "I own you." Let me ask you this. Does fear own you? He says, "I own you." See, that's what fear does. It wants you to have excuses. But now Danielson was marinating on what his coach had just told him. He got up, kicked his backside after saying, I want to go home. But when his best came out, he defeated him. That's the way it is. God's calling the best in you out to defeat all fear in your life. Now listen to me. The number one fear in the United States is public speaking. I remember I was in high school, and in order to graduate, I had to give an oral report in my history class. And so now I'm in my third year of history, repeat, and I'm a senior in high school with a bunch of sophomores in my class. So I'm a senior that needs to pass this history to graduate. 3 weeks, they're going to be marching. Our class was so big, we had 600 people in our graduation class. We had to go to UD to do it. And I was having nightmares. I'm not going to graduate. I'm not going to graduate. And my teacher told me, "Fred Gillenwater, you're no better than anybody else. You have to do this oral report or you're not going to graduate." I went and talked to the counselor. She said, "Can't do anything for you. You're going to have to do it." I went and looked up. I got my dad's Britannica encyclopedias. He had a book on Abraham Lincoln. She gave me different people who I could pick from. I picked him. And I read and I studied. And I was the last one to give this oral. The last one. And if I didn't, I wasn't going to graduate. So here I am. She says, "Mr. Gillenwater, it's your turn." I go up there, and I had read so much. I just started. It just came on me. I said, "Abraham Lincoln." I said, "He was an honest man." I start going on all these things he had done. And then I said, "The Emancipation Proclamation." And I started really getting into it. And I mean, I was into it. I was walking around. I was telling them about Abraham Lincoln. And when I got done, they all started clapping. They stood up and started clapping. And I'm thinking, what just happened? And then the teacher looks at me and says, "Fred Gillenwater, you have a gift. And you don't even know it." And I never have forgotten that. The truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.